I'm Joanna Pauls, camp friend, Sunday school buddy, and family friend of Eleanor's. I've been asked to offer memories of Eleanor and tribute from her Silver Lake Mennonite camp friends. There are many people who were unable to be here in person today who are achingly wishing that they were. They are sending their love and thoughts from all over the world. I want to acknowledge that their words have been woven together here with much help from Mark Weber. Every thriving community has anchor people. They don't need the spotlight, often they don't want it, but they don't shy away from whatever needs to be done. They are the planners, the doers, the cheerleaders, the dependable, always there, always care people. Everything depends on them, and they usually don't get the credit they deserve for making every other person's lives better. Eleanor was one of those people for so many of us at Silver Lake in the early 90s. For a girl who was always pulled together in the late 80s, reliably wearing penny loafers with the pennies, and pink with green, and matching socks and sweaters. There was nobody more ready to get their hands dirty for the cause than Eleanor. We loved her, counted on her, no doubt took her for granted far too often, and we already miss her terribly. In the early 90s, if there was a responsibility that had life or death potential at camp, Eleanor was the go-to person. She ran the waterfront, led the camper and leadership training program. She shepherded teens across the Bruce Peninsula and on the lakes and rivers of remote Temagami. She even found ways to help the occasional cranky Oma in the kitchen find fun at camp. She taught many of us first aid, certified us in CPR, recertified our lifeguard qualifications, and even managed to coach Mark Weber through his timed swim to get his bronze cross. A far greater accomplishment, Mark reports, than you might imagine. Everything she did with a sense of quiet, cheerful competence. Unflappable. Many of us were pretty organized, and then there was Eleanor. She was just in a different league. I'm pretty organized, and when I was kilt leader the night before an out trip, I could usually find my way to bed at least a few minutes before midnight. When Eleanor was leading an out trip, she could usually be found in the staff lounge knitting by about 8:30 p.m. Her skills in this respect were so prodigious that they gave her the job of coordinating out trips, a job that basically involved putting one trip after the other out on the trail with complete reliability and nothing forgotten, ever, at least not when Eleanor also did the packing. When the rest of us organized a trip, we stressed, we snapped at one another a little bit, and there was the occasional minor breakdown. With Eleanor, she just did the job and whistled a happy tune. Our circle of Silver Lake friends is truly stunned, so deeply sad. We have been exchanging memories, images, mental snapshots. Eleanor was loved by so many. I thought it might be best to simply share a handful of those reflections and vignettes. From them emerges a deep understanding of our dear friend. Jim Penner commented, "Her kindness, her empathy, her dedication to a friend or a cause didn't waver over a lifetime, too short a lifetime. She didn't learn to be helpful. She didn't discover how to be supportive. That's simply the way she came into the world and into our lives." A lot of times when people ask for anecdotes, we try to think of funny or thought-provoking stories, but as I'm writing this, all I have in my mind is a sunny July afternoon on the dock at Silver Lake. It must have been just after lunch, before afternoon sessions. Eleanor and I sat there talking about just about everything. It was one of those few moments when everything was right in the world. And for tonight, I don't want to break the spell. I'll sit on the dock in the summer sun with Eleanor for just a while longer. Maybe if I close my eyes, I'll even hear her giggle. From Winnipeg, John Brubaker wrote, Eleanor taught me that you can't wear black shoes with a brown belt or blue socks. But pink goes with anything, anywhere. We had a chipmunk problem in the kilt leader barn when I led kilts with her. They got into everything, and it really wasn't a pleasant situation. And then I found out that Eleanor had been feeding the chipmunks because they were so cute. Somehow that image of her feeding those darn chipmunks made the infestation a feature rather than a problem. You couldn't be upset with her for more than a second, ever. Connie Lepp remembers a Temagami canoe trip in which a fellow staff member, Tim Shantz, needed to let a camper use his sleeping bag because the camper's sleeping bag was wet. She wrote, "So I let Tim use my sleeping bag." And then it was Eleanor and Rosemary who zipped their mummy bags together and I got to sleep in the middle between them. Normally I would feel hemmed in, but I just remember lying awake in the dark with a smile on my face. The trip was in late August, and I was cold almost every night. But not this one. I was finally warm from head to toe. My heart felt warm, too, by the generosity and friendship. It was a good moment. From Peru, Lisa Shantz sent these thoughts. For the longest time, I thought she was older than me because she was so put together. Eleanor had perfect hair at camp. And white shoes, and white shirts, which she kept white. That was over 25 years ago. I am still unable to manage white as a color. When our son Timothy was born, Eleanor knew this and made him a cream-colored blanket to hide the dirt. She knew this was the most I could manage. The thing about Eleanor was, although she loved being put together and organized and, well, grown up, this wasn't all she was about. Eleanor knew how to dig deep. When our first son was born and we needed to do palliative care, she was there, solid, like a rock. Real conversations and real love. The last time I saw Eleanor was almost 2 years ago. It was the day of Jen McTavish's memorial service. We had rehearsed the singing for Jen's service and had come back to our place for lunch. She did not blink at the clutter and chaos in our home. Instead, we talked about things that mattered to us about life, love, loss, kids, and she helped with the dishes. My own Silver Lake experience was vast, and as I scroll through my mind and land on favorite camp memories, I often find Eleanor there. Down by the pond with our lifeguard shirts on, sailing in the boats that Eleanor was instrumental in bringing to camp, singing in harmony around the campfire with friends, and laughing, always smiling and laughing she was. Eleanor and I shared a love of good adventure. There was the winter camping trip where we built and slept in a Quincy together. And there was the Temagami canoe trip in which we found ourselves huddled together in a soaking wet tent, waiting for a ferocious storm to pass. Comforting each other with stories and songs. Camp is a place where, through experiences like these, deep friendships are made. I know, Linda, that your mom has been thrilled to watch your love for Silver Lake grow, just as hers did. Chris Edgar wrote, "I want to honor her and take on Eleanor's love of life, not just loving life. Ellie demonstrated how to attack it and make it the way you want it. She was, and still is, a brilliant, loving soul. You can't brush off angel dust. It sticks to you forever. Thank God." This past summer, the Eleanor Cool at Silver Lake story continued, seemingly as if there had never been a hiatus. The themes were, as ever, the same. There was crisis. Hard work needed to be done. There were unglamorous tasks nobody else was willing to take on. There were people struggling who needed support and friendship. With an executive director out of commission with a concussion, a summer director doing two jobs at once with an assistant director also out of commission with a concussion, who else would step up and say, "Whatever you need done, I'll do it"? Who else would volunteer to give up 2 weeks of her summer if needed to return to camp and run whatever part of the show needed to be run? Who else would the camp's board have complete, unflinching faith in? Eleanor. And it turns out, Peter. Peter, it seems Eleanor found in you a partner with so many of her own best qualities. Steadfast, steady, committed, principled, a volunteer at heart who takes pride and pleasure in a job well done. Even in her early 20s, Eleanor was, unselfconsciously, a knitter. She didn't just knit for the heck of it, she knit for people, the people she cared about. This is one of the sweaters that she knit for a camp friend. Hand-stitched in the neckline is a handmade by Eleanor label, making it an enduring collector's item. Perhaps some of you have an item with this label sewn in place. It is a symbol of so much of the Eleanor we knew. It was very stylish for its day, like Eleanor. It was a work of her hands and a work of love, carefully, meticulously organized and drawn together. A complicated pattern that looks effortlessly executed, like so much of what Eleanor had her hand in. And it's warm, very warm. It's comfortable, custom made, and you feel both privileged and cared for to wear it, like Eleanor's friendship, like her love. And it makes me smile, as Eleanor never failed to do, and it is cherished by its owner, as all of us will cherish Eleanor's memory. You can't brush off angel dust. It sticks to you forever. Thank God.